Welcome on in to Full Count. Nick Earnshaw here, your host. We have a lot to get to here on this episode, recapping the weekend that was for the Philadelphia Phillies. It was Wall of Fame Alumni Weekend. So a lot of familiar faces, blasts from the past, were in attendance for the Phillies this past weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Friday, whatever. They were here all weekend. And it was fun. It was a fun weekend. If you were down at the ballpark, I'm sure you had a great time seeing the inductions, etc. It was awesome. It was awesome to see some familiar faces, having the 83, the 93 teams down at the ballpark, get, you know, introduced, get honored a little bit. It was pretty cool. It was definitely pretty cool to see. And you look at all these players that come back every year. It's really cool. It really is to see these guys come back. It's like a fraternity. Seeing all these names, guys that people grew up with. I didn't grow up with a lot of these players, but if you're a little older than me, you definitely have. And it was definitely cool to see some of these Philadelphia Phillies legends this weekend. And, you know, seeing some names get inducted into the Wall of Fame. Now, one name was not present this weekend, but will be present, I believe, next month. But John Quinn, Rulli Carpenter, they joined the Phillies Wall of Fame this weekend. Scott Rolen, who was just inducted to the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame not too long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, was there to witness it in person. Didn't shed a tear like my partner in crime, producer here at Sports Radio WIP, Francisco Rojas. He shed a tear during the speech, but that's I'll digress there. But he'll be back in September. There was a conflict. There was a scheduling issue. Whatever. I get it. Fine. Whatever, Scott Rolen. I'm not the biggest Scott Rolen fan. He was a little bit before my time, but I'm indifferent on him. I don't love the guy. I don't hate the guy. But, you know, he could have showed up on Wall of Fame weekend. I don't know what he had going on, but I don't know. It would have been nice to see him there and in person. But he's going to get his own day, his own date at a later time. But to the squad that is now present for the Philadelphia Phillies. Last show, I said they needed to sweep the Marlins. I'd be fine if they took 3 of 4. They took 3 of 4, which I'm cool with. Won 3 straight series. They're playing really good baseball. It's been a great homestand for the Philadelphia Phillies, but they didn't end it so well. Friday night started the Twins series, and it got off to a great start. Twins series got off to a fantabulous start. Yes, fantabulous. Is that an actual word? I don't know. It might be. But anyway, Phillies, they start off with a huge game, scoring 13 runs in game one against the Minnesota Twins to kick off Alumni Weekend. 15 total hits in this ball game. Kyle Schwarber had a big day. He had 2 hits and an RBI. Trey Turner continues his hot streak. He had 3 hits in this ball game, 2 RBIs. Bryson Stott, JT. The offense was cooking, to say the least. The offense was cooking. Dallas Keuchel, how is he even still on a major league team is beyond me. It's beyond me that they're even giving him a shot. An inning and 2/3, 6 hits, 6 earned runs. He was brutal for the Twins. It's mind-boggling to me that he still has a team. It's crazy. He has not pitched well at all. Has a 9.45 ERA on the season. As of now, it's only his second start of the year. He actually wasn't awful in his first start against the Arizona Diamondbacks. He went 5 innings, gave up 8 hits, only 1 earned run, 2 walks, no strikeouts. But against the Phillies, faced a team that was in the playoffs last year, not a team that's kind of floundering a little bit here this season, and you know, into August and in the dog days, they're not handling it too well. You face the Phillies, and you're going to get some good swings, and that's what happened. And they put up 13 total runs in this ball game. He gave up 6 of them. So, listen, great start for the Phillies. It's like, all right, They're still on a hot streak. We're going to win four straight series. How about that? Didn't end up going that way. Did not end up going that way. Saturday then comes, and it just did not look great. It just didn't. It didn't. 8-1 was the final score in this ball game. Joey Gallo had two homers, four hits, drove in four runs. Pablo Lopez looked great. He struck out seven and six shutout innings. The Twins, they lost four in a row going into that one, but Phillies, they fall in this game 8-1, and the offense kind of just went stagnant. In this game, not much going on offensively. Taiwan Walker was okay. The velocity dipped. He's going to get extra time off now. Hopefully it's not the case of, he's getting fatigued and, we're in August. You need him for a playoff run. They're going to give him some extra rest. This is when the six-man rotation kind of comes in handy, and they're going to have extra days off because they have off today. They're going to have, which is Monday, they have off on Thursday or Friday. I think it's Thursday. So Thursday they have off when they come back from the Toronto series, which is only a two-game set. We'll get into that and preview that later. But Taiwan Walker had his velocity dip in. Five innings, three hits, three earned runs, two strikeouts at six walks. Yikes. In that ball game on Saturday, Phillies, all right, it's like, okay, fine. All right. We'll give you one. Twins, we'll give you one. And hopefully the Phillies can come back from that. But on Sunday, that did not happen, unfortunately. Ranger Suarez, he got the ball for the Phillies. Pitched, honestly, he looked good. He looked good. 6 1/3, six hits, two earned runs, eight strikeouts, three walks. He looked better. Like, he looked like he was controlling his pitches better. His command looked a little bit better. He kind of looked like the old Ranger Suarez and gave the Phillies a chance to win this ball game, no doubt about it. So you got a good start out of Ranger, but the offense just couldn't get it going, man. Just could not get it going. 0-4 with runners in scoring position. But the big story from this game in a 3-0 loss was, man, That seventh inning. They had an opportunity. The Phillies had a big opportunity with the bases loaded. Still a 2-0 game at that point. Game's within reach. I mean, even 3-0, it's still within reach. But 2-0 at this point. Seventh inning. Kyle Schwarber comes up, gets a great pitch down the middle to hit, pops it up infield fly. So two outs. And we know how the Phillies are with runners in scoring position. This one was tough because Alec Boehm comes to the plate, and he worked a great at-bat for the Phillies. And you got to give him credit. He worked the count full. And then I believe it was the sixth pitch of the at-bat. Alex McKay, a fill-in umpire this week, behind the dish, called third strike, and Boehm just lost it. Slams the bat down. Umpire points at him. He's going to get fined. And then all of a sudden, he gets ejected. So not great. Bases were loaded. It was not a strike. Can I be clear on that? Like, it wasn't even close. And for the people coming out with this idea that, well, it was two strikes, you got to protect, dude, it was close. No, it wasn't. It wasn't close. The pitch wasn't close. And listen, I know they could have hit, earlier in the game. They had other opportunities, but this was a gigantic momentum swing in the game. And at that point, bases are loaded. It was ball four. A run walks home. The lead's now cut in half for the Twins. The game's now 2-1. Then you have Bryce Harper coming up to the plate with two outs, bases loaded, one run ball game. It changes the whole dynamic. So it was a crucial moment in this ball game. Unfortunately, the Phillies were on the wrong end of this. It sparks the debate of, do we need robot umpires? Do we need robot umpires? I don't think it would be a bad idea, to be honest, because the officiating, or not just across baseball, but across basketball, football, I mean, it's been awful over the past few seasons. It really has. I know Major League Baseball has had a lot of umpires retire over the past couple of years, but it's no excuse. They have a guy behind the plate who's filling in, who came up, whatever. Who cares? Like, you got to get the call right, man. Like, in that situation, a ball 3-4 inches off the plate, it's a big deal. And I'm all for protecting with two strikes. If it's close, you got to swing, foul it off, do whatever you got to do. But that ball wasn't close. That was inside. They would have jammed him if he tried to swing at it. He would have had to change his swing, bring his hands closer to him and make a turn with his swing. And to me, that it was an egregious call. It's one of the worst I've ever seen on a called third strike, especially in a situation like that. It's just brutal. It's just brutal. And the umpiring has to be better behind the plate. We've seen C.B. Buckner, other names that come to mind, Angel Hernandez. I mean, these guys have been bad, and they're missing calls. For the argument of, you know, making the challenge, like going for a challenge, right? You're going to go out there, you're going to challenge it. I don't think you should be able to challenge balls and strikes because you can't make it unlimited. You can't challenge every pitch. It would get out of hand. You'd have to put a cap on it. You can only do it, I guess. Like my thinking is you cap the limit on how many balls and strikes you want to challenge. Because they also want to speed up the game. They don't want to sit here and have to worry about challenging every ball and strike. It's just not feasible. It's just, you know, highly, highly, highly unlikely and not going to happen. So maybe you say, hey, you can challenge one pitch after the seventh inning or something. I don't know. But or just start with the robot umps and just get it correct already. I mean, tennis has the same kind of thing, right? Like, they have technology where you could see where the ball goes out of bounds. Why not do the same thing for baseball and balls and strikes? Because you got to get this right. I get the human element, but balls and strikes, man. Who, like, you can't be that egregious in the major leagues. It just can't happen. Alex McKay, horrible. And what game was it where the Phillies had a umpire get called up, filling in. Missed three calls, and three calls got challenged, and three got overturned. I believe that was in the last week or so. Like, that can't happen. The umpiring just has to be better. And when it affects the game that much, that's when I have a problem with it. Like, if you miss a call here, they're fine. Great. But you got to be consistent on both sides, man. And you got to make the right calls in big situations. It just can't happen. It just can't happen. But Game 3, Phillies lose that one in a tough, tough fashion. Hopefully they can bounce back. Listen, they won three straight series. I'm not going to panic, and nobody should panic. They're up in the standings right now, in the wild card standings. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, bust on them and say, oh, we have to panic. They lost two straight. The offense is leaving runners on. They're not getting anything done. Well, you know, Sonny Gray pitched well, too, on Sunday. Like, he pitched a good game. They took him out after 80 pitches, but which is kind of crazy to me. But listen, they're okay. They're going to go into Toronto. Hopefully they can at least split there. I'm asking for a split. I'm not asking for a sweep. If you get split in Toronto, that'd be great because it seems like the Phillies never have any success in Toronto. So split in Toronto, split in Canada, would you? And then come back home following that series, if you're the Phillies, and you play, who they play? They play the Nationals again. They're going to have the Little League game on Sunday. That I'm looking forward to. Can't wait for the Little League game, especially when you have the team Media PA in there making it to the Little League World Series. I don't know if you saw that, but Media PA getting no hit the championship game in the regionals. They're down to their last strike, two outs. Boom! Walk-off home run. They're going to the Little League World Series, Media Pennsylvania. So congrats to those kids. The Phillies and Nats play in Little League in Williamsport in the Little League Classic, 7 p.m. next Sunday, August 20th. That's going to be fun. But there's still going to be more baseball before that. Phillies got two games against the Blue Jays, and then they come back on Friday for the National Series. So going to be a lot of fun. Exciting time. Listen, I know the Phillies, you know, you want them to take two out of three. They're okay, man. They're going to be okay. I have no worries with this team. They're playing good baseball as of late. The last two have been a little rough, but they get a day off on Monday, a travel day. They get a day off on Thursday as well. Come back Friday against the Nationals. I think they'll be okay. No need to worry if you are the Philadelphia Phillies. But you know, there's still some positives. There's still some positives that came out of this weekend. Trey Turner, he is on a really long hit streak as of right now. He's been hitting well ever since the ovations, which, you know, they seem to work for him. And, you know, we got our guy back that we expected to be here. And that's what's happened. And, you know, we had Kyle Schwarber go down. We had Bryce Harper go down with some minor injuries. Harper was day-to-day. He comes back in this series. Schwarber also comes back in this series. Everything looks okay. No need to worry if you're a Phillies fan. That's where we're at. No need to worry if you're a Phillies fan. They're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. I'm not worrying about it. Not worrying about it right now whatsoever. They're going to be fine. And if you're the Phillies, you know, look ahead to Toronto. Take care of business there. Come back against Washington. You're going to be back home. You have a lot of home games here in the month of August. It's going to be okay. Seriously. There's nothing to worry about if you are the Phillies and you're a Phillies fan. I mean, there's just not. There's not. And Trey Turner, you know, August 4th, got things going in that Kansas City loss, and he's continued to look really good in this series. And, you know, he has that hitting streak, 10 games now. Hey, looking good. The guys will get it going. Like they'll be okay. It's going to be fine. But, you know, things happen on Sunday. Bases loaded, the Bohm thing, whatever, gets ejected. Thompson got ejected the following inning after a Harper's pitch in the following inning was closer. It's borderline, but the Bohm thing, it wasn't even close. But when we come back, we'll have more for you. We'll preview the upcoming series against the Blue Jays, the Nationals, look ahead to that, and you know, get more into the Phillies.
Welcome back right to here Full Count.
Nick Earnshaw here, your host. More to get to on the Philadelphia Phillies, and we have to preview the upcoming series for the Phillies. Not a three-game set, not a four-game set, a two-gamer up in Toronto across the border up north. And listen, it's an important series for the Phillies. I mean, every game is important. Every game is going to matter. Every series is going to matter. Only way, and you know, we hear Rob Thompson talk about it all the time, and you know, I've mentioned it on this show, you got to keep winning series. Take two of three. Take three of four. Sweeps are great. Love sweeps. This one, you might want to sweep, even though I'll be okay with a split. I'll be fine. I'm not going to panic. You can't go down 0-2. You can't lose both games. You got to take at least one up here, especially with your two top pitchers on the mound. One pitcher might not be considered the top pitcher this year because he's struggled mightily this season, but I will digress there. But yeah, the Phillies, that listen, Tuesday and Wednesday, they go up to Toronto to take on the Blue Jays. In the first game, the pitching matchup looks like this. They have Zach Wheeler against Yusei Kikuchi. And listen, Wheeler on the season has, you know, he's 9-5 on the year with a 3.74 ERA, is 155 strikeouts on the year. Wheeler, in his last start against the Nationals, he went 6 innings, gave up 3 runs and 7 hits. This, if he can, you know, have another good start, it'll be his 7th quality start in a row. If he can get it rolling, if you're into the advanced stats, the analytics, it'd be his 7th in a row if he can go the distance and pitch well here against Toronto in the opening game of this series. And Wheeler, he's also in 11 games in a row, he has pitched 5 or more innings. So you know, he's played really well. He's played really well. He's pitched really well this season. He hasn't looked like your typical Wheeler, but he's been good. He's been good. So you got to give him credit where credit's due. He's been good. He's been the ace of this staff, no doubt about it. You know, it's going to be exciting for the Phillies to see him in his first game of the Blue Jays series, and he will be going up against Yusei Kikuchi. And, you know, in his last start against Cleveland, went 7 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk on the season overall, 9-4, 3.53 ERA in 23 games started. So this is going to be a tough matchup if you are the Phillies, right? He's also going for his 10th win, just like Zach Wheeler. Both have 9 total wins on the season. I don't know how much of a fan you may be reading into the win-loss column for a pitcher. I don't read into it a ton, but, you know, it does still have a little bit of meaning. It means that pitcher pitched well and gave his club a chance to win. It also can mean that the pitcher doesn't get a lot of run support. So, you know, it's a whole, however you want to take it, however you look at wins, I don't value it as a number one statistic. Some people may still do. I certainly don't. I think it's a good statistic, but it doesn't show the full picture, the complete roundup of what's going on. So we'll see who gets their 10th win. Maybe it'll just be a no decision. Who knows what will happen, but both pitchers going for their 10th wins on the season. In game 2 on Wednesday, probable pitchers look like this. Aaron Nola gets it for the Phillies and Kevin Gausman for the Toronto Blue Jays. For Aaron Nola, listen, it's been a struggle for him this year. It has. I mean, we can't lie to ourselves. He struggled. And in his last start against Washington, 5 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk. Came out of that game a little early. The pitch count was up there over 100. So, you know, if you're the Phillies, you just want to be able to get Aaron Nola back on track, right? You want to get that Aaron Nola, that fourth in Cy Young voting last season, Aaron Nola. They won this game. He pitched fine. His ERA is still way up there. It's a 4.49 ERA. He's 9-8 on the season, 24 games started. We know about the home runs he's given up. It's been a problem. In his last couple of starts, he didn't give up one against Washington on August 10th, gave up 2 against Kansas City in that one August 4th. July 29th, gave up a homer. July 23rd, gave up 2 home runs. So, you know, we know he's been prone to give up the long ball, and he's had that one bad inning that it's destroyed him. Like, he can look so great, and then he can look so bad. I hope it's still not the pitch clock. Everyone has to deal with it at this point. It is what it is. You can adjust it. It can work out. Maybe it is. Maybe it is still bothering him. You got to get over it, though. You got to get over it. You got to make adjustments. That's what sports are about. It's about adjusting, making things better, making yourself better, reinventing yourself at times. And you know, if he hasn't adjusted the pitch clock by now, it's August. It's August. He started in over 20 games. You gotta get over it. I don't know if it's a mental thing. Whatever, but you got to get over it if you are Aaron Nola, because he's got to pitch much better. He's got to pitch better. You're going to need this guy for the playoffs. And we had this discussion last week. I believe it was on the midday show. If the Phillies enter a wild card series right now, right? They enter the wild card series against whoever, San Francisco, Cubs, I say San Francisco. Is Aaron Nola one of your 3 starting pitchers? Is he? He is for me. I know he's got the ace stuff in there. He showed up in big moments before. He's also floundered in some big moments, but he's also shown up. He wouldn't be game 1 starter. He wouldn't even be my game 2 starter. You might not even have to get to game 3. I can't. See, now that I think about it a little bit, like, do you want him in a game decided, like a series deciding game? I don't know. It's tough because where do you want to pitch him? Do you want not pitch him at all? I'm certainly not putting Aaron Nola in the bullpen. That could totally mess him up if you put him in the bullpen. It could totally ruin him. So I don't know. I can't go put him in the bullpen. But if you have to get to a game 3, then you get to a game 3. And you start Aaron Nola, and you got to have confidence in your guy. He's been here, done that before, been with the Phillies a long time. I'm still going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I am. And know, he's got August, the rest of August here, September, and October to get it right. If, you know, people will forget if, listen, if he has some great starts in the postseason, is magical, gives the Phillies good outings in the postseason, no one's going to care about the regular season. No one's going to remember it. No one's going to really care. Like, oh, yeah, he wasn't that great in the regular season, but guess what? He showed up when it mattered. And that's what hopefully you got to hope for here. From Aaron Nola, hopefully you got to hope for. You got to hope for Aaron Nola here because you know he's got the stuff to be a really good pitcher. You know he's got the stuff. He's shown it before. He's got ace-level stuff. He doesn't show it all the time. He hasn't been an ace this year. But he's got it in there somewhere. And I think at some point you're going to see that type of Aaron Nola. And I'm not giving up on it. I'm just not. I believe in the guy. And I think he's going to show out when it comes time to do it. And, you know, coming down the stretch in September, making the playoff push, I think he's going to give you some good starts. I really do. I believe that. Maybe it's still an adjustment with the pitch clock thing, whatever. But if he gives you good starts down in September, where he's known to melt down, the Phillies have melted down before until last year, I think they're going to be okay. I think they're going to be okay. I think Nola's going to come back with a vengeance. And I'm being Mr. Positivity on this because a lot of people don't believe it. I think he will. I'd have him as one of my three starters in a series right now, probably game three. I'd go probably Wheeler and... Man, if Lorenzen keeps doing this, you got to go Lorenzen in game two. But I'd probably go Wheeler, Walker. That's probably where I go. Wheeler, Walker, Nola. That's probably what I would go with right now. Unless Lorenzen really, really continues to pitch extremely well, isn't fatigued. You know, because he's had experience coming out of the bullpen, which is great. You could have him. If you need him to start, if you need him to come out of the bullpen, it'll work. Rangers come out of the bullpen before. I don't want to put Aaron Nola in that spot if I'm the Phillies. Just can't do it. Just can't do it. All right. Looking at on the other side, Kevin Gausman for the Toronto Blue Jays in Game 2. He's the probable pitcher there. Former first-round pick of the Baltimore Orioles back in 2012. He's been with the Toronto Blue Jays the past couple of seasons, last year being his first year with Toronto, spent a couple of seasons with San Francisco before that. But this year, 9-6 with a 3.04 ERA, 23 games started. In his last game against Cleveland, last start on August 9th, went 7 innings, gave up no earned runs, 4 hits, had 6 strikeouts as well. He's been really good this year. He's pitched really well. August 3rd was probably one of his worst starts of the year, 4 1/3. 3 earned runs, 2 walks, also had 6 Ks. The pitch count was just up there over 100 in that ballgame. Also got the loss there. But overall, throughout the season, he's pitched really well. Month of June was really good to him. He had a 2.97 ERA in the month of June. Looked really good. Only lost 1 game and won 4 in that one. And one of his starts, he got a no decision. So he's 4-1, 2.97 ERA that month. And to start the year, he was unbelievable too. 2-2 with a 2.33 ERA. So Gausman, really good pitcher. Been around for a little while, been around the block. It's going to be a tough game for the Phillies. Definitely a good pitching matchup, Nola versus Gausman in that second game of the 2-game set that we are going to get in Toronto, where the Phillies are going this week. They have a couple of days off, which is always good. I mean, they're really the travel days, but a couple of days off never, never hurts. All right, we're going to take a quick step off. When we come back, I got to talk about Michael Lorenzen. Got to talk about Michael Lorenzen and the no-hitter. Just got to recap it. I know it was a couple of days ago, but man, got to talk about Lorenzen. That no-hitter was absolutely magical. This is Nick Earnshaw, Full Count. Be right back after this quick break. And we're back with Full Count. Nick Earnshaw here. And, you know, we've talked about what's upcoming for the Phillies, what happened over the weekend. But I want to kind of go back before the weekend started. And I want to go back to the Nationals game in the Nationals series when Michael Lorenzen was on the mound Wednesday night. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I was producing this game. It was Michael Lorenzen threw the 14th no-hitter in Philadelphia Phillies history, the first regular season no-hitter by a Phillies pitcher at Citizens Bank Park. Obviously, the Doc Holliday one in the playoffs was in the playoffs. It wasn't in the regular season. So it was in the NLDS. So this was the first one by a Philly at CBP in a regular season game. And my goodness, what a magical night it was. What a magical night it was. I had to save a full segment for this because it was just so awesome. It was so great. Everything about this night went perfect. And it wasn't even the biggest crowd of the season for the Phillies. Like, this was a game that I think only had like 30,000-ish plus in the stands. Usually, you know, they've been getting like 40 or whatever. You know, they've been getting a decent crowd. They had like 30,000. So the attendance, according to ESPN, was 30,406. Only 30,406. I get it. August, you know, the Nationals, whatever. It's a weekday game. But man, I mean, Lorenzen wasn't even a story to start this game. He wasn't even the story in this game until it got to the fifth, until it got to the sixth, until it got to the seventh, eighth. Then he became the story. Then it was like, okay, this guy might be doing something special tonight. And sure enough, he did. I want to go back to the beginning of the game, though. Like, there were so many other things happening in this ballgame. Like, it wasn't just the no-no. It wasn't just the no-no in this ballgame. There were so many other awesome things, awesome accomplishments that were happening in this ballgame. It was incredible to me. Incredible. First of all, Weston Wilson, career minor leaguer, had an injury that kept him back, kept him out of baseball for a little while, comes back, is with the Phillies organization. He's 28 years old, finally gets his shot in the big leagues with Brandon Marsh going down, gets the start in this ballgame. What happens in his first at bat? What happens in his first AB? He hits a freaking home run. Oh my God. Like, it was so magical. They're showing his parents, his family in the stands. Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. And, you know, that became kind of the story of the game early on, right? That became, you know, what everyone was talking about. They go interview the dad, etc. Like, it was great. They're showing the family in the stands. It was awesome. Weston Wilson, after almost 2,900 ABs in the minors, finally gets to the majors. First at bat, goes yard at Citizens Bank Park. It was awesome. So that's where the night really started. In Weston Wilson's first at bat, like, that's really where everything kind of got rolling, where the story was, right? That's where the story of this ball game was. And yeah, like, they scored in the top of the first, the Phillies. They put up some runs early on in this game, make it 3-0. But bottom of the second, when Wilson led off and hit that home run, which was an absolute bomb, 429 feet, that's what everyone was talking about. But then some more things happen. Like, Castellanos, he hit the home run in the first inning. Great. He's now at 199 home runs. Okay, we fast forward to the third. So every inning we're getting something, it seems like. Third inning, second at bat for Castellanos, 365 feet. He goes yard. It's his 200th of his career. 200th of his career. How about that? How about them apples? So we have a guy who spent his career in the minor leagues, hits a home run to start his career in the majors. Castellanos adds something else to his resume in his 200th home run of his career in a two home run game for him. I mean, it's awesome. This game's going great, and we're in the third inning. All this already happened. So no one's thinking, oh yeah, Lorenzen has to give up a hit. It's only, you know, it's the third inning. You know, hit can happen in the fourth. fine. You know, the Nationals just haven't really done anything up to this point. So, yeah, you're excited. Like Lorenzo gave up some walks, whatever. But you had Wilson, the family, Castellanos, his son getting so excited. He's running around the stadium in Citizens Bank Park. They're showing him on TV. It's all great. It's all fun. We have two big home run stories to talk about after this game. It'll still be a memorable game, right? It wasn't even just that. Then we get to Michael Lorenzen. And it seemed like a lot of fans didn't realize it was happening till late. They didn't know. It wasn't kind of known that it was happening. Everyone wasn't really paying attention, it feels like. I don't know. Some people were saying they didn't know till the 6th. They didn't know till the 7th. Some people didn't even know till the 9th that he was throwing a no-hitter. The guy was magical. It just, ever since he's come over to the Phillies, he has been awesome. Awesome. Two starts. Guy goes 8 innings in his first start, and then throws a no-hitter in his second start. First start at Citizens Bank Park. I mean, it was incredible. Incredible to see. Michael Lorenzen, 9 innings pitched, no hits, no earned runs, 5 strikeouts, 4 walks. And it was the pitch count that everyone was so worried about. That's what everyone was worried about. Worried about the pitch count. Would Rob Thomson pull him? And I kid you not, I thought Rob Thomson was going to pull Michael Lorenzen before the 9th. I really did. I think it was the 7th inning. After 7 innings, he had 100 pitches. 100 pitches. If you know who Rob Thomson is, usually he's pulling him at that point. He's going to take the pitcher out. And, you know, he goes out. You know, Thomson asks Lorenzen, like, hey, are you strong? I'm paraphrasing here. That's what Thomson said after the game. He asked him if he was strong and he was ready to go back out there. And he gave an opportunity to get some quick outs and he was going to leave him in. And Lorenzen went out and did that. He got some quick outs and, you know, Thomson, I believe, said 120 pitches was his max. He had 124 total. But you're not going to pull a guy out in ninth inning. You're just not going to do it. It's not going to happen. You know, to see Lorenzen go back out for the 9th, you know, over 100 pitches, first start. Great job. Kudos to Rob Thomson for having a feel for the moment. I tweeted out during the game. I was like, let Lorenzen throw 200 pitches. I don't care. Like, this was the longest he's ever pitched in a game. Like, first career shutout, first career complete game. I mean, it's awesome. And the guy's been a relief pitcher majority of his career. And he goes out there and just puts on this show and becomes the story. I mean, credit to Weston Wilson, credit to Nick Castellanos, but man, great pitching performance. Great job by Rob Thomson to let him go back out there and finish this game. Because you don't see it as much anymore. You see a lot of combined no-hitters, which are, they're fine. And, you know, this debate was raging on throughout the week. Would you rather see a baseball brawl or would you rather see a no-hitter? And it's no-hitter by a mile. It's no-hitter by a mile. Who cares about a brawl? Are we kidding? It's ridiculous. A no-hitter's awesome. All right, it's not offense. It's not like action-packed, maybe. But if you're a baseball fan, how can you not love a perfect game, a no-hitter? They don't happen like all the time. So to see Lorenzen in his second start with his parents there, I believe I read something where his mom was going to leave or something. She was going to take a flight back, but he was pitching that day, so she stayed to have the wife there, the baby. Oh, just magical. And you have Castellanos' kid running around, and he's running around, you know, hugging Lorenzen's family, hugging Weston Wilson's family. Just magical, man. How can you not love baseball with this type of stuff? Seriously. Yeah, brawls, whatever. No hitters, man. That's something. That's something right there. That brings people together. It does. Just to see the no-hitter, to see Michael Lorenzen, get it done. And another thing that was really cool, is wearing Vans. Guy wears Vans when he pitches. Unbelievable to me. Like, the guy's in Vans, throwing no-hitters. Credit Dave Dombrowski for bringing this guy in. I mean, what a stud. What an absolute stud. And hey, if he keeps pitching like this, he's going to make himself available as a starting pitcher in the postseason. No doubt in my mind, if he continues this way. Like, I know he's pitched a lot of innings, most in his career. He's gone deep into ball games, and that was one of the things Rob Thompson talked about after the no-hitter. Like, hey, we know we have the six-man rotation going. They have the extra days off. He'll be good. And I that's what I was thinking, too. Like, they're going to have the extra days off with the Blue Jays series. They're also, you know, they're on the six-man rotation thing. He's going to have time. So let him go. Let him finish it. Like, it's so much better when one guy, when one individual is all for the no-hitter. Like, it's not a combined effort. It's just the one pitcher. It's just so much better. And it's so cool to see. And after the game, they're taking the rubber out of the mound. Oh, the whole thing, the whole aura of a no-hitter. It's unbelievable. It's perfect. It's perfect if you're a baseball fan. The hell with this idea of the brawls. No, none of that nonsense. No-hitter every single time. I just wanted to talk about it because it was a magical night. And, you know, it showed a spark in this team that, hey, we got something here with this squad. We really do. As Philadelphia fans, you have something with this squad, no doubt in my mind. All right, take a quick step off. You know how we got to end the show every single week. Who's next? Who's going to be my minor league player?
Welcome back.
I'm going to tell you about
Nick Earnshaw.
What's he been doing? Has he been playing well?
And, you know, we talked about the Phillies the past couple of days,
the upcoming schedule. We talked about the no-hitter from Michael Lorenzen. Thank you, Dave Dombrowski, for bringing him in because he looks fantastic. But we also have to go down to the minors. And who's next? Who's our player this week? And I try and bring in different players every single week on, you know, what they're doing down in the minor leagues. And I have to talk about the Phillies' newest, one of their newer prospects, the number 4 overall prospect now in the Phillies system. First round pick 27 in 2023, Mr. Aiden Miller. Yes, Aiden Miller, first round pick this year for the Philadelphia Phillies. He's just getting his pro career started, and it's down in the Florida Complex League. He started in 8 games so far in his young career. Age 19 years old, born in 2004. Gosh, that even makes me feel a little older, but I will digress. Miller down in the FCL League. He has 9 total base hits in 8 games. He's looking really good. Batting .360 right now. And it is really shown that, you know, hey, this guy can hit a little bit. He missed his senior season in high school due to an injury. And that's really essentially why the Phillies were able to get him. So if you're the Phillies, you got to be excited about Aiden Miller. He can play the corner spots, third base, first base, wherever, doesn't matter. He can play either corner spot. And if you are the Phils, you're worried about his bat. He's got the right-handed bat. He looks fantastic. He's got power. He can make contact. He's also got a really good arm in the field, which is why he can play third base. He's an okay runner. He still has a little ways to go to develop into his own body at this point. But he's a player, man, that you should be excited about. He's not going to be up for a while. He's 19 years old as of right now. MLB.com has his ETA at 2027, so you're not going to see him probably for a few years. But, man, it's just getting started now. Like, his career is just getting started. And he's a player that plugged in right into their farm system. 4th overall, according to MLB.com. Pretty cool stuff with him. And you know, when you have a player like Aiden Miller, this is a guy that, you know, coming out of high school, you never know how prospects pan out. But this is somebody that, you know, yeah, he had the injury, but he looks really good. Like, he looks really good. Like, the glove looks good. The bat looks incredible. He has the power to probably get to the big leagues one day. He's just got to stay healthy, right? Like, that's the thing. He's got to stay healthy. And, you know, he already has July 27th, first game, had three base hits in his first game. That's incredible. And, you know, he had a little bit of a hit streak for a second, a four-game hit streak to start his young career. And two of those games, were multi-hit games. So the guy can hit. That's why the Phillies drafted him, starting out in the FCL League. And he's just going to be a player to watch. He's definitely going to be a player to watch. If you're the Phillies, I mean, they took him with this pick for a reason. It doesn't fall to them if he's not hurt, which is crazy. He's also played shortstop as well. I think he's going to be a corner guy. Third base, could play first base possibly. But we'll see. We'll see what comes of Aiden Miller. He's got a long way to go, but I figured I'd let you know where things stand with him. He's just getting started. The 6'2", 205-pound first-round pick, 27th overall, way down in the minors, not even the low A, not even the high A yet, double A, no. He's in the Florida Complex League. He's in the rookie league right now, getting his feet wet, getting ready to become, you know, a Phillies top guy, man. And you want to see, like, when the Phillies are able to draft guys like this, man, and finally start developing some pieces, Bryson Stott, Alec Bohm, like it's so much better when you have a good farm system. And I know people, you know, are saying, ah, they're just prospects, who cares? Well, I care. I definitely care because prospects mean a lot. You got to develop from within. I mean, take a look at the Atlanta Braves. Take a look at the Tampa Bay Rays. Like, these are teams that develop from within. You can't just go out and buy players all of the time and buy free agents. Aiden Miller, top guy. They were able to get him later in the draft because the Phillies aren't going to have a top pick for much longer anymore. And, you know, they were able to select him. And, you know, he so far in 8 games has 9 hits, more hits than he's played games. It's a good start for the young Phillies infielder, I guess you could say. You know, third base, first base, short. I mean, guy can play really any position you want him to. But since he's a guy with power, he's a guy who can hit the baseball, can drive it to all fields. I'm excited about Aiden Miller eventually becoming a Philadelphia Philly with the big club. All right, that's going to do it for me here on Full Count. Nick Earnshaw here with another episode. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and we'll see you next time right here on Phillies 24/7.